Hey, how are our levels? Because the last couple of podcasts, I've listened back to it and I've felt that I've just been a bit too loud. So either I'm going to speak in a very hushed tone this time, like this, and the advantage of speaking in a hushed baritone is that it drives the girls wild, obviously.
Obviously.
Speaking of driving the girls wild, I listened to your latest podcast where you gave me a fair bit of shit. When I say listen to the podcast, I mean I click through I heard mention of my name and then I click back again. Well,
I can't fault you for that.
No. And in it, you disparage slightly myself and Aaron Clary for the fact that we give out advice about women and we haven't dated women for a number of years because I've been married now, coming up 10 years, and to the good wife, and Clary's been with the long-term girlfriend for a substantial number of years. I'm not sure how many years he's been with her. And you kind of disparage us, you know. It's like, I don't know what the example you gave, but it's kind of like, you know, someone who hasn't been in a war for 50 years telling someone how to go and fight or something, I don't know. Now, I just want to let you know that you're wrong.
Okay.
Manifestly and profoundly wrong, in the sense that, yes, I haven't dated for over 10 years. 2008 was when I met the good wife, so that's 10 years ago. Over 10 years ago now, my God. But you don't have to date girls to either approach them or to be approached by them. But you're trying to say that going out on a date, the physical act of going out on a date, is the point where apparently that's where the advice counts. But you don't have to get to the point where you're buying them dinner to know that you could have got to the rumpy pumpy if you wanted to. Now, I get approached by girls on a regular basis. I was approached by two girls at the gym recently. Two young girls, I think they probably were pushing 19 years of age, together. If you added their retrospective ages, you might have got 19. No, they were probably around 19. Working out. They were the synchronized swimmers of gym goers.
Really?
They were doing their workout where they were stepping up together on a bench and then down, and they were doing everything together, and it was synchronized.
Oh,
I was just
God.
Waiting for them to. I was just waiting for them to step up on the bench and clap their hands. Yeah? Clap their hands. Clap their hands. This whole workout routine they had going. And by the way, they were cute. They were hot. They were hot. But they were manifestly absurd. Which is okay. Because as guys, we don't mind when chicks are manifestly absurd. As long as they're hot.
Right, as long as they're cute.
As long as they're hot. You can get away with anything if you're
anything.
These girls were hot. Anything.
Anything.
These girls were
it's
hot.
So true.
Anything. Nazi anything. LARPing. Fine.
Yes.
You're hot.
Right. Being a vegan. Look. Yeah, you're hot.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Ooh. Wow. I think you might have actually touched on something that even if you're hot, you can't get away with.
Well, not even for short term. I mean, I'm not talking like long term.
Look, no? if I was single and a girl said she was vegan and I was trying to chat her up, I would make a point of at that point letting her crash and burn and exactly letting her know why I'd lit the fire. That's how much I detest vegans.
All right.
I couldn't sleep with a vegan.
That's pretty reasonable. Hmm. I think I might. I think if I ran into a vegan, not that there's well, okay. Let's if I ran
with
into
your,
an attractive
with your car?
Vegan
with your car,
yes. Ooh, that preferably. So
yeah,
if I was chatting up an attractive vegan, let's put that qualifier on there. I don't know. I might let's string her along a little bit and kind of like tease her over time and rag on the veganism thing and poke the bear a little bit and just see at what point I could get her to get angry enough to storm off or whatever.
You're just too desperate. No way. No. You just have to, as soon as they announce their veganism state, well, there, that's the Spitfire has just shot down the Mrs. Smith 109. Down she goes. Anyway, back to the gym. So, the girls were at the other end of the gym to me. I was at the far end of the gym. I was in the squat rack corner with the solitary squat rack. And when I go to the gym, I have to make sure as I'm going up the stairs, because there's four levels to the gym. Four levels to this gym, one squat rack.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds
four
hideous.
Four fucking levels to this gym, one squat rack. And it's the only area where you can do chin-ups either, or pull-ups, because they're attached to the squat rack. So every time I go to the gym, I'm heading up the stairs thinking, that fucking squat rack better be free. It's mine. If it's not free, I just go up to the cunt using it. I don't care what they're doing. And I say, when are you finished your set? There is this gym etiquette. And if they're doing barbell curls or something ridiculous through the squat rack.
Oh, yes.
Then I just go straight up to them and I'm saying, do you mind doing that somewhere else? Because I need to use the squat rack. I'm not going to wait for them to finish. This is not happening. I just go straight out to them and bam, right? So anyway. The squat rack, I've got the squat rack because it's mine. It's in the far corner, all the way away, other side of the room for the girls. We're a good 20 meters away from each other. There's a lot of space in between us. The girls are doing their thing. I'm doing my thing. There's a few other people around the gym. And suddenly, 10 minutes later, the girls appear at my shoulder. Literally. They even dragged a bench across next to the squat rack, perpendicular to the squat rack, boxing me in as such, and then proceeded to do their synchronized swimming calisthenic gymnastics right next to me. So then we got talking because they wanted to talk. Great one. They wanted to talk. They wanted to talk to me. And I was like, I let them down gently. I let them down with a twinkle. I let them down. Nice. I let them down with a twinkle in my eye. You know, I let them down with a twinkle in my eye. I didn't even have to walk over to them. They moved their exercise. There was no reason for them to move to me. What they were doing over there, they could have continued doing. They did not have to come all the way to the other side of the gym and move it next to me. And there was no one else around me. It wasn't like they were trying to get close to some other guy. The intent was so obvious that other guys at the gym were looking at me and giving me the thumbs up. Right? And I know what girls want. I know what girls want. Girls don't want sex. That's not what girls want. Men want sex. Girls just want to know that you wanted them. That's all that girls want to know. Girls just want to know that you wanted them. As soon as you let girls know that you want them, that's it. Bam. It may as well have been sex as far as the girls are concerned. They've got what they wanted. Right? So, I let them down with a twinkle in my eye. I was nice. I was debonair. I was suave. I was the Adam. And the point is, this is only like last week, and I've been married 10 years. I've been faithful to my wife for 10 years. I'll remain faithful to my wife as long as we're together, because I'm not the sleep around kind of guy. But if you think that in the last 10 years, I haven't had any interactions with women, well, you're completely batshit fucking burka crazy. So of course I can give out advice. Of course I know what works. I'm constantly out there in the environment. Girls are around me. At work, girls are around me. Okay. Oh my God, girls are around me at work. You wouldn't believe the number of people who come through my courses who have two breasts and a vagina. So when I heard you disparage my claim to be able to give advice to the young gentlemen out there listening. Or reading, as you know, as it may go. because solely because of the fact that I've been, in inverted commas, married for 10 years, I thought, no. Not at all. So I just wanted to let you know that. And I tell you what, if we ever meet up, whether in the States or Europe, we'll go out on a pickup chicks competition. And we'll see. And hookers are not included.
Not even like half points for hookers?
No. God, not even half points for hookers.
What about trannies?
What about trannies? I've had enough of trannies. Trannies were on the nose 30 years ago. Now they're completely rotting in the fields, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, that's my response to your claim that I shouldn't be giving out advice on how to pick up women. How do you respond to that, Great One? How do you respond to my response? I'm not going to let you go and respond, you know, in your Wednesday podcast next week, where you can you can slither away when I'm not there. Oh, no. You have to respond now, as I drink my single malt whiskey.
Whiskey drinking bastard. I was going to make a martini, but I have to go to the gym after this. So that's not going to happen. My response is that, as I said, I was 70% joking and 30% serious. And yeah, I mean, it's totally worth it to have heard that whole little speech, because that was great. And I mean, you're right about all that.
Waiting.
I got nothing better. I mean.
So, kiddies, everyone listening, Adam 1, Great 1, 0. Let me just write that down. Got my little pen here. How do you spell Great 1? G-O-G-G-O, nil, Adam, 1. That's Ain in Holland. Great 1, 0, Adam, Ain.
Ain.
I can count to 10 in Dutch now. Ain.
Nice.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Not bad, eh?
Heck yeah. So now you can rate women on a scale of 1 to 10 in Dutch.
Ain to 10.
Damn. I knew second languages were good for something. Damn, I should have learned another language. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had my first dream in Dutch the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you understand everything that was going on?
No, but I called out your name.
Whoa. You're only supposed to call out my name when you're having sex with girls. Chicks love that.
Yeah. Hang on. Hang on a second. That's my line.
Yes, it is. So,
I'm gratified on hearing a podcast that you're enjoying Run Guts Pull Cones. I didn't go into detail. You just said to everyone, buy it, it's brilliant, which of course, you know, I fully appreciate. But I thought I'd get, you know, for a bit of publicity, because I've got to be honest with you. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you eating crackers or something in the microphone?
Eating crackers in bed.
Are you punching like plastic wrap?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm done plastic wrapping now.
Fucking hell.
Well, you're anyway, just droning on about your fucking book.
I have to say that while the first book sold well, Run Guts Pull Cone has been a slight disappointment. I have to admit it. Not as good. One-fifth of the sales of the first book. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening. 1/5 of the sales.
You're doing something else. I'm sitting here and you have my full attention. You have 100% Adam. The only thing that's distracted me slightly is my whiskey. I don't feel the reciprocation. I raced home. I was in Amsterdam with a good wife. We went to Amsterdam today because we've been renovating this fucking house, and yesterday was a total nightmare. Total fucking nightmare of sanding and getting covered in shit. And I said to her, right, we're not doing any work on the stupid fucking house on Sunday. In fact, we're not even going to be in the stupid fucking house on Sunday. So we went into Amsterdam. We had a lovely lunch. I've learnt my lesson about lunching in Holland, because obviously the Dutch don't do lunch because they're fucked. So from now on, I go to a French restaurant. That's it. French or Italian. But even Italian isn't that great here. It's got to be French. It's got to be French. We had a lovely lunch. And for me, a Sunday lunch is the best possible meal you can have in a week. Sunday lunch. A long Sunday lunch. And you don't skimp on the pate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Give us an appetizer. Give us some oysters. Give me a fucking this. Give me a fucking that. Give me a dessert. Do you want a dessert wine with your meal? There's a bear shit in the woods. Of course I fucking want a dessert wine with my meal, because it's Sunday lunch. And then we went shopping because it's the sales and the good wife loves a bargain and blah, 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 blah. And then I said to the good wife at a certain point, I'm like, look, I've got to get back because I've got to record this podcast with the great one. And he's depending on me. So I raced home from Amsterdam, driving like a sheer maniac through the canals and dikes. And here we are, and yet I don't feel like I've got you 100%. I'm not feeling the love. Where is the love, great one? Where is the love? You're popping plastic wrap in the background. This would have been the highlight of your week. It was the highlight of your week when we did our first podcast together. Why isn't it the highlight of your week now? And I'm feeling used up here. I'm feeling like you're moving on. So I have your full attention now.
Yes.
Good.
Good.
So, great. So, Run Guts Pull Cones.
Yes.
You're enjoying it.
Yes, I finished it this morning. I enjoyed
it. Oh, you finished it?
Finished it.
Ah, okay. Well done. What's your summation of the book?
Well, my summation is that here's what, to me, I thought was the difference between this book and your previous book. The previous book, and I mean, I'm not saying anything you haven't said and don't know, but for people who haven't read this book, the first book, Pushing Rubber Downhill, was you making that journey to being a man and creating yourself and all this other stuff. And while that somewhat continued in Run Guts Pull Cones, what I liked about this book is that you were there, wherever there is, I'm just using a nebulous word, you were there and you were building on it, and it was all about the camaraderie between you and the other guides, and the things you did together, and when you had disagreements, and how you worked through it, and how, as we saw in the end there, it was bros before hoes, and you laid down the laws that needed to be laid down, and you had the talks that needed to be had. And it greatly reminded me of when I was in the military, and we had much the same thing going on. We had all these people who came together for a common purpose, and we had differences, but we also worked through them, and it was this men supporting each other, men being better together, men having adventures together, you know, men getting drunk together and waking up in strange places and chasing girls and all this other stuff. And it was just, I thought, this great tale of men doing manly things. And I still don't know how in the fuck those rafts managed to survive all of that, because I was expecting one to blow up on the river any moment. And I also like how you left the end sitting there nice and open for the third book in the series, which I hope is coming. And you're going to say, well, I'm not going to write a third book in the series, but you're going to say it with an Australian accent. And I'm going to say, well, fuck you, mate. You should write, because this is only one rafting season. What about the other rafting seasons in Italy?
I'm not gonna make another fucking third book, mate, Cobber.
Oh, fuck you then.
Was that Australian accent enough for you?
No, that was that was a worse Australian accent than mine, and mine's pretty fucking terrible.
No, well, there you go. I think your summation is right on the money. It's manly men doing manly things and bros before hoes. And that's what the book is about, you know, and that real esprit de corps that you get when a bunch of guys are doing a job and depend on each other, like the military, doing it together, got of each other's back, you got your disagreements, and you don't act like chicks and fucking bitch behind each other's back. You get out and you lay it on the line, you lay it on the line. Mm-hmm. Did you wank into the sink? Yes or no? No. Yes.
Yeah. That was
you lay
hilarious.
It on the line. You lay it on the line.
Lay it
I think
on
in the
line.
First, I think in the first book it was the witch doctor scene, that was the scene of the book. But I think in Rungot's Pool Cones, it has to be jerking off in the sink. I think was the scene of the book, the encapsulation of that book. I think
that was certainly interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, another thing that I liked about you and the people in this is, and I think this is something we're losing these days, is the ability of all of you to call each other on your bullshit when it's necessary, but then just move beyond it. You know, none of this shit. Well, you know, 3 months ago, you asked me if I wanked in the sink or whatever. Right. Not this. It's like you're fucking up right now. And, you know, the guys in the book go, yeah, okay, you're right. I am kind of fucking up. And then you solve the problems and you fucking move forward.
Yeah. I think that's actually been a feature of my personality all through my adult life, is that I will call you on something very fast, and I'll be pretty intense while I'm doing it if I feel like I have to. But once it's done, once it's said, it's over, and it'll be like, so do you want to go get a beer?
Right.
You know? I'll completely rip you to shreds, because you need to be ripped to shreds, so you fucking remember, so you don't do it again.
Right.
And then straight away, let's go get a beer. And it's just like you hit them once when you rip them to shreds, but when you say, do you want to go get a beer, it's like you've hit them with the left hook at that point. You know what I mean? They're down for the count now. They don't know how to handle that. You know, rip me to shreds all you want, but don't ask me to go out for a beer afterwards. Holy fuck. the whole point is it's done. It's said. We're men. We're adults.
Right.
We say it in the moment.
Right.
All right. You think I wasn't right for ripping you to shreds? Great. Come back at me. Come back at me. Give me everything you got. Give me everything you got. And then I'll come back at you. And we'll go back and forth some more. And when it's all settled down, we go get a bit. Because that's what men do. The women don't do that.
Oh,
women
God,
are all
no.
like, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, you look so great in that dress. Oh, your hair looks wonderful. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Bye, see you. Oh, she's such a cow. She's such a bitch. I can't believe how fat she looks. I don't know where she... Yeah. But the thing is that men these days are acting like women in that regard. Aren't they? I'm assuming. They were back in Australia. They were back in Australia.
Yeah, I see the same thing amongst men that I know and have to work with and all this other stuff. You know what else I thought about too? So when the book started off and you talked about you're back in Australia and you're telling your friends about your adventures and nobody gives a shit. You know, that's another thing that really got me thinking a little bit, because... And I'm not really sure what any conclusions here are, but I have the same thing with the people I hang out with. You know, I go off and I do my shit and I come back and we're sitting there and we're drinking a beer and I'm telling this story about something and everyone just seems very disinterested. And it's like everyone is focused on getting the story back to them talking about themselves.
Talking about how much their house has gone up in value in the last 6 months.
Right. Or
some shit like that.
Or their kid or whatever. And it's...
Oh, their kid.
Their kids. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, it's... I'm perfectly willing to hear about other people's stuff. But it seems to me with the vast majority of people I know, there's no reciprocation. You know, I'm interested in hearing about them because there's these few people on the planet Earth I genuinely like.
Because, and I'm interested... No, wait. You're interested in hearing about them because you're a good listener, and a good listener is someone who puts themselves in the other person's shoes and is like, right. They're telling a story, I'm going to give them the courtesy of giving them my attention. Much like if you're recording a podcast, and you give them your full attention. I get what you're saying. I've had this so often in the past. Like I've second guessed myself. I'm like, maybe I'm telling a story really bad. Maybe I'm just a boring, shitless bastard. Maybe I need to wake up to the fact that no one wants to hear my stories because I don't know how to tell them and rah, 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 rah. But right. Now I know that's not true. I know for a fact that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that most people are complete narcissists and Lord knows that they hear about something else from someone who's done something different from them. When they've sat in the same town their whole life and have gone driven in the daily commute to work every day. Oh, gee. You know, and that seat of the book, that happened, man. We literally, we organized a night with all of the people I grew up with kayaking from three generations to show them a video of the White Nile and the stuff we were doing on it. And we all sat down to watch this at someone's house, made it a big deal. Everyone was there specifically for the purpose of seeing me say hello. I've been away for so long.
Right.
And watch the video. And it lasted 5 minutes watching it when someone, one of my best mates, grew up kayaking with him, said, oh, I've got this video of my baby. And the baby was sitting in the fucking room! That happened, man.
Yeah. That's hideous. That is, oh my God.
And what do you say? I was like, whoa, what? What do you say? What do you say in that situation? Apart from, got to get new friends. And I did. I did.
Good call.
I'm still friends with them on Facebook. You know what that means.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, because you said in the book, and you just said now, that these were kayaking friends. So, I mean, God, I would think, okay, if they enjoy kayaking, yeah, at least they'd have some kind of attention span for this. But yeah, the whole bit when they put on the baby video of the baby that's in the room, and this is why, just when people get either children or dogs, they just start becoming insufferable 97% of the time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's pictures of my... I don't know if this is... If you've ever... I mean, like here in the People's Republic, it's just such a dog culture. It's like, oh, here's pictures of my dog. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And they're serious. Like the people with the dogs, it's just like people with children. Oh, my dog did this. My dog did... I have pictures of my dog. You want to see pictures of my dog? I'm like, no, I really don't want to see any pictures of your dog.
Yeah, I never got that. I mean, I had dogs when I lived in Italy. We had border collies.
So that'll be in the next book, right?
No. I'm seriously, man. I'm not going to say I'm not going to.
Right.
But I don't intend. I don't have any intention to do another book about what I've done. I think that you can only because I've said that I've done the two themes. The first theme was make a man of yourself.
Right.
The second theme was Brotherhood of Men.
Yes.
Those were my two themes. And though there are aspects of both in each book is generally weighted towards one or the other, right? I don't have another theme along that contextual line. I really don't.
Right. No, I understand.
Maybe I will have it in the future.
Right. Yeah. I totally understand. Right. A third book runs the risk of simply being a repeat of Run Guts Pull Cones with a bunch of amusing stories, but right, you know, overarching story arc, journey moral point that isn't different from Mungo. So it's like making a movie and just, it's like you make the third movie in the series and it's a remake of the second movie.
Once you get to Police Academy 3, why are you watching anymore? You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Same thing with Alien. Alien and Aliens, but then you hit Alien 3 and so forth. It's just the same shit.
I'd argue even Aliens.
Really?
Yeah. The only movies that I really enjoy, I think Terminator, I think Terminator 2 was the best sequel of all time.
Hmm.
Which is a close call with Empire Strikes Back, but I think Terminator right. 2 was the best sequel of all time, and I didn't mind the Blade movies. Didn't mind it. I could sit through the second and third Blade movies, no problem at all.
I don't think I've seen any of the Blade movies.
They're nothing special.
Right.
They're not gigantic cinema or anything like that. I just enjoyed them.
But they're entertaining.
They were entertaining.
Which used to be the point of movies. Yeah.
That used to be the point. Not being lectured to by dumb fuck millennials. I read today that Vox Day is in talks with producers to start a movie empire.
No shit.
Yeah. And I personally think he's going to pull it off. Myself. I personally think he's going to pull it off. No, I admit that I am a fan of Vox Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm a casual fan of Vox Day, but I mean, he is another of these people that he, from what I know of him, he makes things happen.
Yeah. I'd probably make happen 5% of what I say I'm going to make happen. But that tends to be a lot more than what other people do. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what yeah. are there, do you have any details on this movie empire concept? I mean, like, is he a production?
I read it. It literally put it up today. Let's have a look here. Two weeks ago, I signed an agreement with a movie producer. We've since had a number of meetings with various organizations, and I can state with some confidence that we'll be skipping the whole option phase and go directly to making the movies and or television shows ourselves in partnership with people who know what they're doing. Some of these scenarios involve crowdfunding and backer participation, others do not. We're also discussing the creation of a major new comics imprint with one or two partners and are in the process of completing Chuck Dixon's Avalon 1, after which we will launch our comic store campaign. So I'm assuming these are going to be comic book movies. They're going to make movies based on the comic books that they're putting out now.
Ah, okay.
Hmm.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think there's a good chance he'll do it.
I think there's a good chance, too. Yeah. And good. I think, yeah, I mean, Vox Day is one of those people that falls in the category of agree with them or disagree with them. He gives you a good kick in the ass, and his arguments are always intelligent and reasoned, and if you're going to disagree with him, you got to find a good reason, yada yada, so forth. So I think if he got into the movie field and got some movies out there, and he would piss a lot of people off in a good way and be a good thing overall, and maybe they'd be entertaining.
That's why I like arguing with people like Fox Day and the Z-Man and Aaron and yourself, because you got to get your ducks in a row.
Absolutely.
You got to get your ducks in a row, and it forces you to get your ducks in a row. And the process of forcing you to get your ducks in a row means that you refine your own arguments. You become clearer in your own thinking. That's the real benefit of disagreeing with other people who are smart. You've got to be able to challenge them and not delude yourself into thinking that you won, you know, beta style. You've got to really, really nail down what you're trying to say.
Right.
So, you know, I and Vox has been wrong a couple of times. So since I've been reading him, but fuck, not very many. It's a hell of a track record he's got. Hell of a track record. Hey, changing topic, I've got something I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
Comparing Apple to PC computers. This can be a topic of huge emotional.
Yes, you've already triggered some people.
Oh, fuck yeah, absolutely. We've got people melting down as we speak, literally. I just want to say, in my book Run Guts Paul Cones, the guy who wanked in the sink was an Apple fanatic. Just saying.
Ow, that anyway. Explains everything.
Now, I'm a PC man myself, and I have been. I only ever used an Apple computer back in 1995. It was an Apple Power Mac, which was at the work with the graphic design stuff that I was doing, and it was there, and I had to use that. So, you know, I used that, but
right.
I've never owned an Apple product. Oh, that's not true. I tell a lie. I did have an iPod back in the day. Used it for snowboarding mostly. That was about it. Oh, and listening to podcasts when I was driving to work. That was it. But anyway, I put the car in for a service on Friday, so I needed to get a lift back from work. And I got a lift back with one of the managers, nice guy. And we're talking the car, and we're talking about the topic got onto Apples and PCs. And he is an Apple guy, but he was a PC guy, but he changed Apple because the work bought him all the Apple stuff because they needed him to have it, so now he's an Apple guy, right? So he's not a fanatic. Right. In other words, his frontal cortex is still working on this topic. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And he was basically saying, look, PCs, after 2 or 3 years, they just all slow down and they don't work and they go to shit, whereas Apple keeps going and going and going and going and blah, 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 and this is why Apple's better than PC. And I said to him, well, look, my computer, and the computer that I'm currently using to talk to you right now, great one. Mm-hmm. My computer, this computer's about 4 years old, I think. And I ordered it online, and I basically helped build it myself. Though they had most of it the way I wanted it. And it cost me about, in Australia, about close to $3,000. Yeah?
Okay.
So I didn't skimp on the pate, yeah?
Right.
And 4 years later, it's still as good as the day I purchased it. It's top notch. But I have to say, I specified Windows 8. I think Windows 10 was just coming out when I purchased it. And I said, no fucking way do I want Windows 10. Give me Windows 8. So, and that was a good move, I've heard.
Yeah.
Windows 10 is a complete dog fuck of a computer system. So I have to specify that I've got Windows 8. It's as good as the day I bought it. And as I'm speaking to my colleague in the car, I said, the thing is, something came to me, a realization, is that Apple cleverly, even their low-end, like the entry-level Apple computers, are still relatively expensive. In other words, they're relatively medium-high-end, the money that you have to pay to enter and to buy an Apple, right?
Right.
Whereas you can pick up some PC piece of shit for brand new for $300. So it's almost like comparing apples to oranges in generalized terms, because everyone says, oh, PCs go to shit. And it's just like, yeah, well, you spent $500 on it. Why did you think it was going to last you more than 2 or 3 years? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like you've bought a Daewoo or some sort of shit, and after 4 or 5 years it's not worth scrap metal anymore. You know?
It's a boat anchor.
Fucking old. It's pretty fucking obvious. And I think when we talk about the difference between Apple and PC, you've gotta compare Apple with comparable costing PC models to get an accurate look. In other words, computers like my own. What do you think, anyway, of my jet? By the way, the guy driving me home was like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Which I love. I love those moments where it just all comes together, you know. And the conversation just emerged out of the blue. It wasn't like I'd been planning this or something.
Exactly.
But then it just kind of hit me, and then I said it, and he looked at me and he went, "Ah, oh, that's a real So what do you think? What do you think of that?
I think that's an excellent observation. Yeah, I think that's a great observation. I've also never really thought about it quite in those same terms, just because the apples, as you said, are so much damn more expensive. Like, you have to, especially on the high end, I mean, to spend as much money on a PC as you would spend on a high-end Apple, man, you have to buy a lot of shit. I don't even know if you can. I mean, I don't know if
you can. I bought my computer online from a company called M-Wave in Australia, and I could have spent $7,000 if I wanted to go top end.
All right. Wow.
And that was just the computer. That wasn't a monitor or keyboard or anything. That was just the fucking computer.
Okay. Well, I haven't computer shopped in a while because, I mean, geez, the computer that we're talking on right now, this thing is 7-8 years old. The laptop that I'm recording you on is about 12 years old. And I mean, they work fine. And again, the laptop's a little clunky, but like my desktop that we're talking on right now, I bought all the components and built this thing myself. And again, I bought good components. I didn't buy some $300 system. I bought good stuff. I bought things that were high end at the time and the newest stuff, and it's still cruising right along and doing fine.
Yeah. I mean, mine's humming. This was the second computer that I ordered and built, kind of thing. And the first one, I didn't take the cooling system into consideration, and it sounded the whole time, man, it sounded like a jet aircraft.
Yes.
It was just ridiculous. So when I spoke to the guys at M-Wave, and I was like, I specified, this computer has to run quiet, because the good wife, I can spend 3 years on a computer and not emerge from the room, and the good wife would not give a fuck. But the last thing was just far too loud, even for me, let alone her. And she said, I don't care how much you spend, I don't care what you do, just make it fucking quiet. Though she didn't use the word fuck, because the good wife does not profane. So I got quadruple fan liquid cooling fucking ice. I don't know what I got, man. But I leave this computer on all the time. I don't even turn it off.
Right.
It just hums along. I don't think I've turned my computer off in a couple of months. And we've got it now because we're living downstairs, and we have been since we moved in, because we haven't got the upstairs all sorted out yet. 3 more weeks, man. 3 more weeks. So this has been on the whole time, and we're sleeping probably 10 meters away from the computer. The good wife doesn't even know. This is a 4-year-old computer. So, you know, I busted out the chops when I bought this one. So when we're driving home and on Friday, and he's saying to me, you know, PCs are shit. I'm just like, well, you know, they go to shit after 2 or 3 years. It's like, they get all really slow. I'm thinking, not mine. And then I thought, well, what's different with mine? Oh, I spent $3,000 on it.
Right.
Two and a half thousand Aussie. I spent $2,500 on it. And that's with high-end video card, top-end, you know.
Right.
Because I used to do a lot of gaming. I don't really game that much anymore because nothing decent's come out. It's good to know that you're a PC guy as well. It gives me, because these Apple Nazis, I tell you what,
they're bizarre. Yes,
I can't handle
it. But yeah, and I agree with your approach. I mean, whenever someone is saying, "Oh, I need to buy a computer," I tell them the same thing. I mean, look, buy, you know, spend the money now, get high-end stuff, and it'll last. My opinion is always go one way or the other. Either spend a lot of money, buy a really high-end system, and it's going to last you for a long time, or go very cheap, because I've bought those too, and they're great. You know, I've paid $60 for a computer, And yeah, you do your email and you can surf the internet and stuff like that. And it is what it is. It's this low-end system, and when it breaks, you toss it.
Yeah. And both of those two options make perfect sense. You either go high-end or you go bottom-end. What doesn't make sense at all is to go somewhere in the middle.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me. Because you're not getting the benefits of the high-end, but you're getting the advanced retirement time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense financially either. If you go bottom end, you can buy a bunch of them. And look, when I was young and poor, I went bottom end. That's what I had to do.
Sure.
I wanted top end, but I couldn't afford top end. Now I can afford top end, so I get top end. But you average it out, and you spend the same amount of money on top end as you do on low end if you average out how many times over the same period of time you've had to buy the low end.
Right, exactly.
The difference, of course, is that the low end... The one thing you don't want to do is buy the high end when you can't afford it, but take out a loan for it.
Yes.
That's a terrible...
Take out a terrible...
Just look.
Right, taking out a loan to buy a computer. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Guys listening to this, if you can only afford low end at the moment, that's fine. Just get low end, roll through it. Just don't get the high end before you can afford the high end. It's really important. Yeah. And if you want the high end, just save up your pickies. Just save up your pickies. That's all you need to do. Yeah. So yeah, I'm a high end guy. I tend to be a high end guy on most stuff now. Cars, high end, but I just try and pay cash for everything. Everything's got to be in cash. Clothing for me has always been high end. I learned that very early on. The money you save by investing in good clothes over time is astronomical. Astronomical. And the Good Wife and I were actually talking about this today because I'm at the point now where I don't, apart from things like underwear and socks and maybe T-shirts and stuff, I don't need to purchase any clothes because I have all my pieces, yeah?
Right.
And I try and get classic style so that I go out of fashion. So now I'm at the point now where I'll purchase one or two bits of clothing a year, but they'll be expensive because I've saved up, you know what I mean? I've put aside the money instead of buying, yeah. You know. So, okay, I'll go and spend a couple of $1,000 on a jacket, and then the jacket's there for 20 or 30 years, so fine, no problem, you know. So anyway,
yeah,
high end or top end. What's going on in your world? What did you want to talk about tonight? Nothing.
I got nothing.
You just, I wrote two things down. Podcast. You don't have to date girls to approach them or be approached by them. Stick it up the great one. Done. Comparing Apple to piece of computers, conversation with colleague at work. Done. So that was all the preparation I did for this.
Hey, what I read an entire book in preparation. Jesus. All right, I do have one last question about the book. Did anybody ever bang Gasoline Girl?
Oh, Gasoline Girl.
And how cute was she? Was she?
Oh, fucking hell, man. Gasoline Girl was fucking hot. Oh. Gasoline Girl was. And she was so hot that she didn't even know she was hot. Like when we were all howling out the window on the bus when we went past her, she was looking at us with a look on her face like, she was looking over her shoulder trying to see what we were howling at. Yeah?
Oh, man. Oh. Lovely.
And they're the best one. They're the best hot chicks. The best hot chicks are the ones that don't even know. They don't even realize they're hot.
I agree. Those are the best.
Because they're the ones that are just down to earth that you can have, that look like, you know, like Grace Kelly or something, but they're down to earth and you can have, you know, a normal relationship with, and they'll father your children and cook your food and rah, 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 and look like fucking Grace Kelly. That's what you want, boys. The hot chicks who are going down the street and got their nose so far up in the air, they're just about, you know, they could clean gutters. It's not where you want to be. So that's how hot Gasoline Girl was.
All right.
Did any of us nail Gasoline Girl? No. Did any of us try to nail Gasoline Girl?
Of course you did. No? Really?
No one. That was the thing. I mean, Gasoline Girl was just like this epitome of womanhood that was just so. It was. I didn't approach Gasoline Girl because I didn't want to spoil the fantasy. I didn't want her to open her mouth and go, "Hey, how you going, sweetheart?" You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Right. Sometimes it's good to have those distant fantasies on the hill that you don't approach because you don't want to ruin them, but they can give you inspiration.
Yes. Oh, she gave me a lot of inspiration.
Did she now? Uh-huh. While you were standing in front of the sink?
A lot of sink time.
Oh, man. Getting in the sink time. Gotta say, I've never whacked off in the sink. That was
unique. That was unique. And just for all those people listening right now, it wasn't me. No, I never have, and hopefully I never will.
Oh, man.
Yeah. but you've done no prep for this. You've got nothing written down that you wanted to talk about.
Slacking.
That's
man.
A no.
That's a no. I've been reading the book, been catching up on work, been trying to find my cable. You know, been coming out of Worthless Degree Awareness Month.
Oh, I saw that. That was a good effort on your part. Worthless Degree Awareness Month. What was the most worthless degree you discovered during Worthless Degree Month?
Damn, there's a lot, but I think the most worthless ones would have to be all the people who got their diploma in landscape architecture, but the program wasn't certified. I mean, that did you listen to that? Did you get to hear that?
Yeah.
There you go. There's the epitome of worthless degree. And I still can't understand how none of them simply asked the question, you know, is this program certified or whatever, accredited? That's the word it is, accredited. I mean, it's bizarre. It's just bizarre to me that you would do something like that and not check these basic facts. That your diploma actually will have some kind of quote-unquote value. Although, you know, not that... Which also falls in the whole thing of the whole bizarre need for certification. So, I mean, okay, so they went, they took all these classes. In theory, they learned all of this stuff. How is that stuff not valid just because some yahoos over here at some third-party organization have not accredited the program? I mean, don't you either know things or you don't know things?
No, but that's the whole thing. They don't know anything. And the accreditation is everything. And the fact that they didn't even bother to check beforehand whether the accreditation, which is the only reason these days to do a degree, you're not in there to better yourself. You're not in there to learn, you know, how to challenge yourself or learn, God help us, critical thinking or anything like that. You're not in there to make contacts because you're all a bunch of losers together. You're not in there to do any of those things. The only thing you're doing is paying money for artificial accreditation on future money that you will earn.
In theory,
on the face of it, is absurd. Actually, it's completely absurd. So for them not to check whether it's accredited or not just goes to show that that was the perfect degree for them.
maybe so
or no I mean you're the kind of person that goes to the bank and says, I want a loan. And they say, okay, how much do you want? $10,000. Right, sign on this line. Brilliant, thanks a lot. And then 4 months later, go, what do you mean the loan's 67%? You didn't have a look, did you? You just signed it aside here.
Ah, well, it's okay, though, because Generation Z is coming, and they're going to save us.
Generation Zyklon.
Yes, yes. They're so much more conservative.
Are they?
No, that was a joke. That's the joke. Yeah. People keep saying that, you know.
Because they want it to be true.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, people are always looking for something to save them, and... Mm. There you are. Generation Z will save us. I'm working with some Generation Zers now. They're so far, I mean, yes, my sample size is only 2 people, but they are pretty worthless so far.
Okay. And would they have voted for Hillary Clinton?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I mean, they're, I feel pretty sure they would have.
They're not going to be wearing MAGA hats anytime soon.
Oh, hell no.
Doesn't sound conservative to me.
Nope. My other favorite Generation Z statistic I saw a while back was someone put together this map of how, well, if, you know, boys in high school had voted in the presidential election, then, you know, 49 out of 50 states would have gone for Donald Trump. And I always find it interesting how you come up with these sort of statistics, because how in God's name can you possibly even know that?
They couldn't even get their polling right with the people that they had.
Right. I mean, we kind of blew that one, didn't we?
I mean, they had it in the bag, 97% for Hillary.
Right. I mean, there's no way Donald Trump could win.
No.
No.
Not even possible. How do you think right now Donald Trump will go in 2020?
I don't know. I'm still, look, because here's the thing about that. I think, my feels. These are my feels. This is what they are. My feels are that the leftists were so confident of Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton deserved it so much and all this other stuff, they didn't really put a lot of effort into it. And the challenge that I think Trump is going to have in the next election is that I think everything they've thrown at Trump so far is going to be nothing compared to what they throw at him in the next election. I think you are going to see the desperation, the just going all out. You know, I mean, I think that you're going to see more than ever physical attacks and violence against Donald Trump supporters. I mean, the accusations, like there's going to be, you know, half the women in the United States are going to claim that Trump raped them. You know, I think they are just going to throw so much at him. And I think Trump will weather it fine. Of course, you know, the thing in an election like this is always, it's not about what Trump are going to do, yada, yada, yada. It's the sheep who do the voting. How many people are going to, you know, turn away from Trump? How many people are going to vote for whoever, Oprah or whoever the Democrats run? You know, are the Democrats going to be able to get all these dead people to vote like they did before? So forth and so on. So, I mean, I think Trump, personally, they're going to throw a lot of shit at him. I think he's going to waltz through it just like he did in the first election. I mean, he'll screw up a few times, but I mean, so what? I think he's going to get hit really hard. I think they are going to come for him with a amount of hatred and venom that I don't think we've seen from the leftist, maybe even ever. I mean, I think their hatred for him is going to be so much.
Well, I disagree.
Oh, you can't do that. All right, what do you think?
I think that the last 18 months since Trump has won the election in November 2016 have shown that the left, all the left have done, have doubled down. They haven't learned anything. And they might come at Trump with renewed vitriol, but they won't. There won't be any coherency to their message. I think the only way that Trump could be in trouble is if the U.S. economy collapses, and the fact that he is rolling back regulations at an absolute insane pace that even I didn't think was possible. I mean, he really is slashing burdens to business, and those burdens have been in place for 20, 30 years. It's like freeing the shackles. So I don't see how the US economy is going to collapse. I think he's actually going to kill it. I think he even might finish off the Democratic Party in 2020. Going by what's happened in the last 18 months. Yeah, the left have been vitriolic and completely hostile, and the media is completely openly in the bag now for anyone but Trump. But none of it's made any sense, and Trump's just gone from strength to strength. Why wouldn't it continue to go the same way? I think these midterms at the end of this year are going to be very interesting. And I think that Trump's going to do well, and I think that the left are going to double down again. Because they can't admit that they're wrong. They can't admit that because their whole lives are bound up in their ideology. Trump's just a pragmatist. Trump isn't a Democrat, and Trump is not a Republican. Trump just looks around and goes, well, there's a problem. We need to solve it. What's the best way to do it? I don't care which way it is, as long as it's the best way. Did the Democrats come up with it? The Republicans come up with it? I don't care. Did Ron Paul come up with it? I don't care. As long as it's the best way to deal with this, that's what Trump does. So they've got nothing to counter with him because they've never dealt with anyone like that. The Democrats and Republicans are locked together in a symbiotic relationship where one pulls in one direction, the other pulls in one direction, and they each completely depend on the other for existence. Trump's just come in and just cut it straight down the middle. It was the Republicans' fortune that he happened to jump in with them, but could have been the other way.
Very true, it could have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and that 20 years ago, it would have been. But not now. He had to go with the Republicans because the Democrats' immigration policy is so incoherent.
Right.
I think he's going to kill it. If he doesn't have a heart attack.
Why would he have a heart attack?
Oh, he's old and he eats McDonald's all day. Oh, he drinks Diet Coke.
Good point. But he had that physical where the doctor declared him to be in good health. So who knows?
Well, because doctors always fucking know what they're talking about.
Of course they do. Well, they went to college.
Yeah. Because medicine's a science.
Yes, it is. And you can cure everything with a pill.
Oh, yeah. Everything. Absolutely everything. So are you gonna write a review for Run Guts Pull Cones on Amazon?
You know, I was actually thinking about that because I thought, hey, you know, I should go do a review for Adam on his books because I've never reviewed anybody's books on Amazon. So I was thinking, yeah, I should do that for Adam. Because I know that helps out. I should do that for Cappy also.
You should. It does help out a lot. And if anyone's listening to this, I haven't had a review on any of my books for some time now, and yet I'm steadily selling books. And that's a lot of books sold and no reviews in. Mm-hmm. Reviews help big time. And it doesn't matter if it's 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1 star. They all help. You don't have to be thinking, oh, well, most of the reviews are 5-star, but I don't want to review it because I would only give it 3 or 3.5. You give it what the fuck you want. Reviews really, really help. So please go and do that. But I don't ask for much on my blog. I don't have a Patreon account. I don't do the whole consultancy bit because after I announced it, no one wants it.
No, no one wanted to pay.
Nobody.
Nobody.
It's still zero. It's still zero.
It's been a month and it's still zero.
Yeah.
All these people wanted your advice.
Hang on. Let me log into my blog email account, which I don't log into. I only log in a couple of times a week. It's not my main email account for obvious reasons. Let me get Ads Legend.
Just in case, because you might have gotten a flurry of requests.
Let's just have a look. Let's get it up to date. Some unlucky bastard might have chosen this moment to email me. Nah.
Nah.
Hang on. Nah.
Hold on, hit the refresh button. Maybe something will come in.
Nah, nothing at all. Nothing at all. So reviews are definitely a good thing and very, very appreciated. So if you could do that, and if anyone listening who's read any of my books could do that, that would be great. The third book is being written. Not as we speak, but as we speak. But it's a departure. It's called How to Be a Man in a Feminized World. That's the title. And it's a Aaron Clary style book. It's that style. And I've had this in planning for 2 years now. But it's just proving rather difficult to write. And the reason is I don't want to get it wrong.
Right.
I keep second guessing myself because I'm putting out a handbook for how to be a man in a feminized world. Well, you better get this right, mate. Because people are going to be picking this up and going, all right, I'll do what he says.
Man, that's a good point. Yeah, you don't want to fuck that up, do you?
You know what I mean?
That is pressure. I completely know what you mean.
It is pressure. I feel a sense of responsibility, you know, and I've started it a bunch of times and I've scrapped it and then I've written chapters and I've killed them and I've expanded on them and I've got my chapter list and I'll see something and I'll write, that's exactly it. And then a week later I go, that's not it at all. And you know,
right.
It's weird. Cause I had no hesitation to put down the 28 traits of a modern man. And I did those on the fly. I did not have them all planned out from the beginning. I went 28 sounds like a good number. Better come up with 28 then. Yeah?
Nice.
Literally. Because it was the New York Times article that I was taking the piss out of was 27. And I thought, well, let's go one more than Ben.
Fantastic.
And I just started. And I was like, all right, well, and the next one, and the next one. And fucking no plan at all. And it came out great. And now I'm trying to plan it out because I feel a sense of responsibility to the men out there, and it's proving really hard. Maybe I should just write it. I could get it done in 4 weeks. I'll just write it, done, and then go, oh, whatever, fuck you. And do on the introduction like a surgeon's general warning, you know, before you know, after they have an ad for some pharmaceutical product on TV and there's the really fast talking at the end. Maybe I should do that in the introduction.
Everything in this book might be wrong. Follow these instructions at your own risk.
Yeah. Your own peril. Caveat emptor.
Damn.
So. But that's where I'm at. Hey, should we call this the PC versus Apple episode?
We could do that.
Because it's guaranteed to get a lot of clicks.
That's true. It's good clickbait.
Great clickbait.
I'm all about clickbait.
I mean, all of the nerds will be like, nerds! Yeah. And they'll be smashing it in. That's a bit of a letdown, and that's what clickbait is. It's a letdown every single time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everyone will be let down. Here we'll be talking about the gym and Trump and your book and Just this brief mention of, and we knew, and just this brief mention of Apple versus PC. They'll be so sad.
Yeah. So sad.
So sad. Aw, disappointment. Aww. You could scream at the sky, though. I mean, it worked for all the people who voted for Hillary. Yeah. Skyscraping, release, you know?
Release the rage.
Release the rage.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are we putting this up next week? Next Wednesday? Because I didn't do a podcast this week because I just couldn't get around to it. So I've got a bit of a gap. Are we planning to release this next Wednesday, like 3 days from today? Are you going to be able to do that, technically?
Oh, yeah, I can have it ready by then.
Yeah?
Yep.
Cool. How are we looking time-wise? What have we got?
11th. We are at around an hour 10.
I think that's good.
Right on.
I think an hour is a good time for a podcast. I think anything more than an hour. Like the one we did with Cappy went for like 2.5 hours, didn't it? How long was that?
I don't remember offhand, but yeah, I think we got around the 2 mark or something.
Yeah, we definitely did.
I agree. I think
2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, I think shorter is generally better as well. Just because, I don't know, and then this is, of course, projecting myself onto everyone else, but like I like shorter podcasts because, like I say, it's an hour and a half at the most. You pop it in, I'm listening to something while I'm doing that podcast, and then when it ends, that's when I transition and I go do something else or whatever, as opposed to like the thing I would like to listen to but I can't do it is these guys who do these 3 and 4 hour live streams on the YouTube. Or God forbid, sometimes even 5 and 6 hours. It's like, man, I can't track something for 6 hours like that.
And the worst thing about live streams is the interactions with the chronic attention seekers who are typing.
In the
chat box, desperate for the moment when the host reads out their comment and gives them the. You know, the gratification that the self-seeking little fucktards have been so desperately searching for.
Yes.
Because it's just like, I'm listening, so I have to listen to you and read at the same time through this fucking just nightmare of text. Because if the guys doing the podcast mention it, it's like, they'll be talking, oh yeah, Jim Bob, oh yeah, Hip Bob, oh, Hip Bob just said it, the comment, you're so right, man, you're so right. I'm not reading the comment.
Right.
I'm not reading the fucking comment. So what did he say? What was that? Even worse, if I'm listening to it after they've recorded it.
Right.
Even worse. It's just like, and the comments aren't there. So it's just like, it's just like this total fucking, I just may as well go and stick a shovel in my head for the moment of time that this goes down. That's the worst thing about live streaming.
Oh,
by far.
And of course, once in the live stream, once the host acknowledges one commenter, you know, then everybody's like, oh, look, he'll notice me. And so then I'm sure everybody like turns it up a level.
Oh, they redouble their efforts.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, wait, now somebody else got attention. Now I want attention.
This is horrible. So, I mean, Vox Day does live streams. I don't even go there. I'm like, oh, I'm not fucking getting involved in this. I'm not looking. Just because I just can't handle the fucktardery. Just can't do it.
Right.
Eh.
All right. And then there's the whole thing where you have to install Google Chrome.
Ah.
Oh.
XYZ Magazine do a Monday night live stream.
Yeah.
And they've asked me a couple of times if I could be involved in it. David Hiscox is the editor there. He's a really good guy. We actually met up in Melbourne a couple of times, David and I, and had some drinks, and he's a very good guy. And I just said to him, I'm not downloading Google Chrome. I'm not downloading this thing that you want me to download, because I've spoken to the great one, and he's pointed out to me, because when we first started doing this, and I was like, oh, sure, just do it on Skype, and you just about burst a blood vessel. And you're like, no, we gotta use FiendPhone because I'm not gonna have the feds listening into me. And I'm like, what? What a fucking, what sort of nut job is this? But then I did some I did some research into it, and I was just like, fuck, he's right. So now, XYZ have asked me a few times, oh, we'd really love to have you on a live stream. And I'm like, yeah, if you could do it with Fiendphone, then I'll do it. No. Okay. we'll look into it. And I was just like, well, look, if the great one can figure out how to do it, I mean, anyone can.
Exactly. I mean, it's obviously not that damn difficult.
No. I mean, I don't organize it. But, you know, if you can do it, I mean, by the way, great one. I bought something today on sale. I bought a camera.
Ah! Oh, man. Yeah.
Cappy, I want to know if it's any good.
Cappy gave me shit on Twitter. I'm like, hey, I had to listen to you complain about how the camera didn't do what you wanted it to do. I could have told you that. No.
If I promise you, great one, if I ever decide to make the transition to YouTube, which I probably won't because I don't think the internet could handle my rugged handsomeness.
Right.
Then I will talk to you first about what I need to purchase to make myself look amazing.
All right. Excellent. You know, speaking of technology. No, go ahead.
Yeah, go on. Now you go. Now you go.
Speaking of technology.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Fucker. Speaking of technology.
Speaking of technology, I don't know, because I'm always behind on everything. Did you get any wind of this thingy? There's this video that was made by Google for, they claim, their internal use only. And it's this video where they outline how they would, how do I fucking put this? I'll have to put a link to this in the show notes. Let me write this down. Link to Google shit. Basically, Google wants to guide you through your life. So, like, Google would gather all this information on you from you using Google, like Google Chrome and everything. And then Google would ask you things like, what do you want to do? Do you want to lose weight? And then you would say, I want to lose weight. And then Google would guide you through losing weight by telling you what you should and shouldn't do. And the fascinating part was where Google will suggest the products you need to buy in order to achieve these goals. It was just this bizarre. Well, because once again, the people listen to me ranting about the internet and everyone spying on you and your information being used against you. And, you know, I know I sound like I'm ranting about chemtrails and shit, which, by just to be clear, I don't think chemtrails are a thing to sterilize the population or whatever the fuck people say they are. But I know I sound very chemtraily. But then you see something like this and it's like, oh, holy shit. Google is going to suggest the product. And then the really interesting part is that if Google couldn't suggest a product that it thinks is likely enough to help you achieve your goal, this is future projection, of course, Google would use 3D printers to create the product specifically for you and then sell it to you.
I think that this is that absolutely perfect for the millennial and Generation Z's.
I think it is too.
And of course Google are going this way. Of course they are. I mean, we're looking at Blade Runner, the original movie, becoming reality. Just with not as much rain. Yeah.
Right.
Listening to that, for me personally, there's that's so far away from my existence that it's not funny. I'll be dead in 40 years. You know?
Maybe. Who knows?
So, I mean, that's where it's going. I really hope there's no reincarnation, man. I really hope, because I don't want to be born Generation Jerk Off. you know, and you grow up with right. the stuff. And because if I was born now, I just don't know, man. I don't know if I could resist it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, having all your thinking done for you and not really having to make, I mean, just the whole concept that Google is going to decide how you go about doing things, or, you know, it's going to help you, it's going to guide you and all, but it's
of course
just,
it is. That's how it'll start off.
Oh yeah, that's exactly how it'll start off.
The thing is, like, we rag shit on Generation Z and millennials and all the rest of it. Personally, I think it'd be absolutely terrifying to be a 15-year-old right now, or a 10-year-old, or an 8-year-old. I mean, absolutely fucking terrifying. With what I know. They don't know because they're 15 or 10 or 8. I don't know shit. But
right.
You know what I mean? I'm really, yeah. Please, God, make there not be reincarnation. I'll do anything. Please. I'm begging you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is one where I hope the Buddhists are wrong.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think they have no idea of what they're missing via their, I guess the best way I could describe it is their lack of autonomy.
Yeah. Yeah. And all, but the thing that defined my childhood was autonomy. The only rule we had was be back before dark.
Right. Yeah, I think I had a pretty similar rule when I was a kid too. Yeah, there was not a lot of limits. Yeah, you hop on your bicycle and you take off and you go do stuff with your friends and you just get home before dark.
Get home before dark? You only came home because you were hungry.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Other than that, man, I'd still be on my bicycle going.
Yeah, you only came home because you were hungry and there was no fast food back then of any consequence. And even if there was, we didn't have any money to buy it.
Right. All right.
Yeah,
so there's a little...
Autonomy. Autonomy was autonomy. The defining feature of my childhood. And conformity is the defining feature of childhoods today.
Yes.
But not conforming to authority, but conforming to Google telling you what to do with your life.
Right. Well, and the whole notion that everything you do and everything you are and all this other such can be reduced to an algorithm. You know, that's sort of the whole point of this is, well, Google is going to algorithm. You know, it the video starts off showing with them doing this thing where, yeah, see, Google has all this data on you and Google can put this data together and it can form an algorithm of who and what you are. And from there, it knows how to guide you into where you want to go. And the terrifying thing to me about that, well, there's many, but part of it is, okay, so you got this computer and it algorithms you, and this is going to come all back to Adam Piggott's books because I planned it this way. This computer algorithms you and then creates this future for you based on what you've done in the past. And this algorithmizing, which is a word I just made up and got to write that down, algorithmizing of you excludes from your future the ability for you to deviate too far from that path. You can't. If you've got Google algorithmizing your future, you can't get on your motorcycle and ride across Australia and end up in Italy as a rafting guide.
I suppose
you lose all of that.
If they were going to put it in a box and label it, they could call it No Surprises.
Ooh, yeah.
You'll know when it's come full circle when we voluntarily turn off our computers. And we don't turn them back on again.
Yep. Or when people give up their smartphones. And there are people...
I don't have a smartphone.
Exactly. And there are people doing that. I mean, I have a burner smartphone, which mostly I carry for work because it allows me to check my email for work-related stuff. But I mean, like right now, it's somewhere. It's turned off. It's somewhere in the house, but battery's probably dead. I don't use it on a regular basis.
I get home on Friday and I throw my phone in the corner. And,
yes.
And on Sunday night, I start looking for it to wake me up for Monday morning.
Yep. I work in very much the same way.
Speaking of which, I gotta run.
Yes,
sweetheart.
It's late
because I've got to hit the sackies because I've got to be up early.
It's past your bedtime.
I'm teaching people how to get out of a helicopter underwater tomorrow. So
sweet. That sounds pretty cool.
Then I get to drown them. It's great.
So is there like a giant mock-up helicopter frame down in a swimming pool?
Just Google Hewitt, Huet.
Huet.
Hewitt Train.
Okay, got
Hewitt
it.
Train.
I'll do it.
And then press images.
Got it. All right. Yeah, that sounds like some cool shit. I would like to go through that training. I think that would be fun and
fun.
Interesting.
It's good fun. It's good fun.
All right.
Yeah. So
shall
that's
we?
What I'm doing tomorrow.
Excellent.
So shall we?
Tomorrow?
What?
Shall we? What am I doing tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow I'm teaching photography. That's what I'm doing tomorrow. Say, shall we wrap it up? Because we were going to wrap it up 20 minutes ago.
Wrap it up.
That's wrap it up.
Yeah, because it was at a good time and we yes. all agreed on that.
Mm-hmm.
And now of course it's not. So.
I think this is a thing that we do though, is we say we're going to wrap it up, and then suddenly we think of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that's where the good stuff comes out.
Exactly. We get the first hour. We get warmed up, and then we start.
Yeah.
Around to the good
shit. We should press the record button after an hour, basically.
Right.
That's what everyone listening to this is going. You should press the record button after the hour.
The first hour totally sucked,
mate.
Well, that's the price you have to pay for the good 20 minutes. Is the first hour.
That's it.